Senate will come to order. Roll call by the chief clerk.
Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
He's here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper. DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt. Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson. Martin. Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer. Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Basie,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Hines,
here.
Bebout,
excused.
Cooper,
excused.
Honeycutt,
excused.
Larson,
excused.
Martin,
excused.
25 present, 5 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Furchin.
Almighty God, that you have protected us through the night from all harm and danger. We ask that you would also protect us today from sin and all evil, so that our life and actions may please you. We give you thanks for your presence all the days of this week and for all the good work that has been done in these chambers. Give to these senators and staff the assurance that what has been done here gives honor to you. Merciful God, renew this weary world. Heal the hurts of all your children. Comfort those who are ill. Bless those who do good in your name. And give to us all the gift of compassion and love and the gift of faith to go on with good courage, knowing that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Reading correction, approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 26th, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the Day, Dean Bartholomew, MD from UW Practice of Family Medicine. There is no nurse scheduled today. Thought for the day. Stopping at third base adds no more to the score than striking out. Concurrences? Senator Case, are you ready with message 418? Okay. The reading clerk, please read in the message.
February the 26th, 2009, from the House of Representatives. Message number 418, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 72, Corporations Act amendments. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 55, noes 3, absent 2. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 418 and ask for your concurrence to Senate file the changes made to Senate file 72, This is the Corporations Act amendments. When you think about the history of this bill, despite what was mentioned yesterday, this is the biggest bill we've had this year. In fact, the biggest bill we've had for many years, actually. And you open it up and you find out it's single space, and it's typed on both sides of the paper. It's a product of interim work, and when it all gets done, it goes to the second house, and these changes are so minor, and they're very much in the spirit of how we brought this forward. And if you were to quickly go with me, we can start with the amendment on page 43, where all that happens there is that after the word corporation, it reads, upon motion by the corporation, we're adding the words, or any interested party, the court may appoint a panel. Page 46, line 29. You're going to hear this theme throughout a little bit, Mr. Chairman. We learned about costs, court costs, and expenses. And they're not necessarily the same thing. One includes attorney's fees. And so we're careful how it's used in this process. And you'll find that it's really mostly what happens is we returned it to the previous law. But on line 29, it says, not limited to reasonable attorney's fees. And that language is taken out, and it's substituted for an award of expenses. Mr. Chairman, the amendments on page 92 and 93 deal with, we use the word dissenter, and previous Corporations Act had used the term dissenter's rights, and that concept is changed to appraisal rights in the new legislation in the Model Act, and it really relates to the fact that if you are a shareholder in this position, you have the ability to demand that your shares be appraised, and then eventually, of course, sold to the corporation if you're in a situation where that prevails. So you can see page 92 and 93, both those changes are to get rid of the word dissenter and put in the more descriptive, a little bit longer, shareholder demanding appraisal rights. Page 9 and 10, the word sanctions is changed to relief. Page 13, better look at that one real quick, Mr. Chairman. The existing language is it's about a shareholder vote and what the court can do. It says the existing language says the court may take any action respecting the transaction and the director, and then it goes on and may give the effect, if any, to the shareholder's vote. And the new language is says the court. I'm missing a word here. Bear with me one second, Mr. President. I've got my and in the wrong place in my deal. The court. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I should do a better job on this one. Oh, the court may give effect, if any, to the shareholders' vote as the court considers appropriate in the circumstances. And then later on page 29, or line 29 on the same page, the word sanctions is changed to relief. And then we move to page 82, where another minor change is. Existing language says any other amendment to the Articles of Incorporation, merger, share, exchange, or disposition of assets to the extent provided by the Articles of Incorporation. The words to the extent provided by are removed, substituted for if specifically provided in the Articles of Incorporation. And then finally, Mr. Chairman, everything dealing on page 93, you can see where the words expenses is deleted and the word costs are put in. And I'll tell you why. Because it's my understanding that expenses does not include expert fees, but costs do.
30 seconds.
And Mr. Chairman, so on page 93, You'll notice that Section A, lines 25 to 36, the word expenses is used several times. And that's being, the word costs is changed to expenses. And that's what we had done in the engrossed version. The other body changed it back to costs because they point out that Section B is a separate section where the court can award fees for experts, Mr. Chairman. So it was kind of double counting there. We had an award for experts in A and then an award for experts in B, if you were to take the literal meaning of what expenses means in the court lingo. That's all the changes they made. The working group is satisfied with these changes. I'm very proud of the work that the Corporations Committee has done to this longest bill in many, many years through the Wyoming legislature, and I hope you'll approve its passage.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 72, Message 418, and you're asked to vote aye. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dicaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing, vote closed, 30 ayes.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 72. Don't have one. Bills on second reading. House Bill 46, second reading of the House Bill.
National Guard Medical Professional Retention Programs.
House Bill 46, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 54, second reading of the House Bill.
Workers' Compensation Amendments.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in amendment number one?
House Bill 54, second reading, amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 4, line 18.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 54. Members of the Senate, when I first saw this committee bill, I was enthused that the language in the bill allowed for those people that have sole proprietors, where there was one employee only, to be able to have coverage. It's an issue that's been brought to my attention by more than one constituent of mine within my Senate district, but also around the state. And when the chairman of the Labor Committee talked about this yesterday and talked about the new language that the House put in, I thought we ought to have some more discussion about it and the importance that I think it is to these people out there. And I bring this amendment to you, Mr. President, that what it does, it deletes the employing two or more employees on page 4, line 18. And if I remember correct, the testimony given by the chairman of the Labor Committee that if, in fact, this House Bill 54, which has a lot of good things in it, should become law, then there would be approximately 240 people out there now that may have workers' comp insurance that would lose that. And I think that's something that, given the nature of what's going on in Wyoming, I hope we will not do. And to tell you the kind of people that this affects, certainly the ones I've heard from, would be a welder that has his own welding truck, and because of liability reasons, he set up an LLC, and then the LLC is owned by him, and he's the one that works within the LLC, so he's not only the manager of the LLC. He's the one that formed the LLC, and he's the one that actually does the work. And in Wyoming, it's very, very costly to go outside and get, you know, private sector workers' comp. We have a great workers' comp system, and I think they ought to be able to be involved in that workers' comp system. So I would hope that you would give favorable consideration to this second reading amendment and try to help those people out.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I rise to urge you to support this amendment. What this amendment does is restore the bill to the work of the Joint Interim Committee in this section. The testimony we had up in Committee 10 on the Senate side was that if the effect of this amendment that was adopted in the House was to remove 206 employers from workers' comp, and that these were profitable employers, that the cost would be $80,000 in premium to the fund, that these people are not a problem, that the premium exceeds the losses that we incur there typically, so I urge the Senate to adopt the amendment.
Question being, second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 54. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. House Bill 54 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 127, second reading of the House Bill.
Obsolete laws, general revisions.
House Bill 127, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 146, second reading of the House Bill.
Emergency Medical Services Sustainability Trust.
House Bill 146, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 152, second reading of the House Bill.
Athletic Trainers Licensing.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk read in the amendment number 1?
House Bill 152, second reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 9, line 15.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the amendment. Mr. President, what the amendment does is go in on page 10 and remove lines 1 through 8. That's where if you recall the discussion committee of the whole yesterday, the potential fencing in this is where it would restrict people who work in the various health clubs, restrict any coach for a team that was outside the school system and being paid from doing some of the things that they ordinarily do. It was a fencing provision, but I don't believe it was in any way intended. I've talked to the proponents of the bill. They don't seem to have any problem with this amendment. If this amendment passes, it will be illegal for somebody to call themselves an athletic trainer who is not. That's the subsection A this doesn't touch, but it will still be legal for coaches and people who instruct you on the health club machines and whatnot to continue to do the things they do. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Senator Landon.
Mr. President, I rise in support of the amendment. Having visited with the tall senator from Natrona County, I think that this takes an unintended provision out of the bill. And as he pointed out, really the purpose of the bill is to identify these nationally certified licensed trainers and really focus on the fact that they are trained and well-educated for what they do. And it really doesn't affect anybody else who's taping ankles or helping us lose weight. So I would urge you to support the amendment.
Question is, shall second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 152 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. House Bill 152, 152 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 160, second reading of the House Bill.
Constituent Service Allowance.
House Bill 160, having Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, I'd request that we lay this back one more day for second reading. I have an amendment I'd like to propose I think is more appropriate for second reading than third reading.
Okay, without objections, House Bill 160 will be laid back for one day. House Bill 169, second reading of the House Bill.
Mortgage Loan Originators.
House Bill 169, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 177, second reading of the House Bill.
Board of Dental Examiners Revisions.
House Bill 177, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 180.
Public Transit Account Funding.
House Bill 180, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 184, second reading of the House Bill.
Mineral Taxes Audit and Refund.
House Bill 184, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 211, second reading of the House Bill.
Veterans License Plates.
There are amendments. Reading clerk, read in amendment number one.
House Bill 211, second reading amendment number one to engross copy, page one, line two.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move second reading committee of the whole amendment number one to House Bill 211. If the senators had ever read the original House Bill 211 as it was introduced by all of the sponsors, they would see that this was intended to honor veterans. It's called Veterans License Plates. In the body down the hall, they got enthusiastic and they put in active duty servicemen also. What my amendment does is it takes it back to veterans and veterans only. I think the best reason I'll give you is that if an active service member gets a license plate now, in a year and a half gets honorably discharged, they've got a plate for, what, 6.5 years that it's not true. They're not active service. However, if somebody serves their first enlistment, their first hitch, whatever you want to call it, and they want to be a career military, they get a DD-214 at the end of that first 4 years to prove that they are a veteran, even though they have re-enlisted and intend to spend 20, 30, 35 years in. So the active duty service people in, say, at the National Guard that have 20 years in can get a veteran's license plate through this bill. So that essentially is what this does. It leaves it to the veterans. There will be the six separate license plates, and you're a veteran for the rest of your life. When you die, so will the plate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question being, so second reading number one to House Bill 211 pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Amendment had passed. Amendment number two. Chief Clerk, please read in that amendment.
House Bill 211, second reading amendment number 2, to endorse copy. Page 4, line 5.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 11. Mr. President, in the discussion that we had yesterday afternoon, things got quite animated, and my concern that I expressed was twofold. And one was the fact that if we start allowing money for these license plates to be diverted to another agency or another interest, the floodgates are going to open, and every session there's going to be at least two or three, no doubt, good causes that are going to be trying to get the exact same thing. So, Mr. Chairman, I brought this amendment, which basically says that the veterans will get their license plates, but that the money that they pay will go back to the general fund. The Veterans Commission is an arm of the government, of the state government, and one of the problems we run into is there's no accounting in this bill for what they're going to do with that money, and it makes it even more difficult for the appropriations process to figure out in the coming budget how much to give them because they don't know how much they're going to be making off the license plates. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to stand for questions on this amendment.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and there's a piece here that I just don't understand. Article 15, Section 16, no monies derived from fees, excises, or license taxes levied by the state and exclusive of registration, license fees, excise taxes imposed by county and municipality. Relating to regulation, operation, or use of vehicles in the public, streets, highways, or to fuels, etc., shall be expended for other than the cost of administering such laws, statutory refunds and adjustments allowed, payment of highway obligations, etc. Why can we put it to any place other than the highway fund? And I think we've done it before, and there may be a constitutional explanation. I just don't understand. So maybe this amendment's a good idea. Maybe it's not. Maybe it ought to say highway fund instead of general fund. I think I'm missing something here, Mr. President, but it looks like the Constitution requires it to go to the highway fund. What am I missing?
Senator Cooper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe along with that question, the good senator from Natrona County mentioned that maybe the committee can shed some light on this, and maybe they had the information on this. But I was thinking that we do the very same thing with university license plates, that we actually give it to the Alumni Association.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President. We asked that same question in committee, and we were told that it was $100 written to the university for a scholarship program, and therefore wasn't written to Department of Transportation as a fee for a license. We were told the same scenario where the money went to the Veterans Commission, who sent the approval back to the county treasurer or clerk, whoever gives you your license plates. That somehow circumvented what the good senator from Natrona County has brought forth. So, we just had to, I guess, take their word for it at that point. There were several people that should have known what they were talking about. We did not get an answer as to exactly what the Veterans Trust Fund does do and whether or not that money was also part of any appropriations from the state government. So that was very unclear to us in committee. I do support this amendment. I think taking that money back, putting it in there, into the general fund, if it turns out that that's perfectly legal to do, is a better way to account for that fund.
Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this whole license plate thing has been with us, I'm not sure how many years, way back to where I was chairman of transportation. It came up again. It's come up like four or five every year. Let me put it this way. Every year about the universities. Every year. And I had some of our constitutional scholars, the bill had come through and it'd go, and I'd go to one of the people who I had more confidence in within our staff about constitutional issues. And every year it'd get almost there. And when I was in a position to control that as majority leader or president, it wouldn't come out of the desk because it was unconstitutional. And I was have been berated about it for several years until last year. They found a way that every constitutional scholar that I could find says, it's okay that way. It's okay that way. So they did the university one. It is my understanding that this is patterned exactly after that kind of thing where it is going. I'm afraid, and maybe it will with this amendment, and I don't know with this amendment, that it isn't going directly to the Department of Transportation for roads, but going into the general fund, that's going to be unconstitutional. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would request that this bill be laid back for one day to try to find out if, in fact, this amendment is going to make the bill unconstitutional or not. And I would make that request.
Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The sponsor of this amendment and I have talked, and if this bill does go forward today, we will bring a third reading amendment that specifies that money will go into YDOT.
The request has been that the bill be laid back for one day without objection. House Bill 211 will be laid back one day. Senator Sessions.
To the floor.
You may.
I'd like you to welcome to the Senate Esther Martinez and her class of students from Johnson Junior High. And they welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate, the class up above me. Senator Von Platerin.
Mr. President, it's probably a great time to do one more request for privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President and fellow senators, it is with great honor and pleasure that I introduce to the Senate the 2009 Wyoming Teacher of the Year, Miss Alice King, who received her bachelor's degree from Augustana College in Sioux Falls, her master's from Lesley University in Cambridge, Mass. She has, since 1993, been teaching in Gillette schools. On a comment she made on her student success in her application, Mrs. King stated, "This measure is different for each and every student. The truth of the matter is that my students know that I will push them to be the best they can be as competitors and as individuals. My students realize that I care about them and truly want them to better their skills as performers or debaters." So please, senators, would you please help me introduce and welcome to this great Senate the great teacher for 2009, Wyoming's Teacher of the Year, Mrs. Alice King.
Welcome. We're glad to have you, and we'll give you the guest mic over here to say a few words.
Thank you very much for having me. I have to tell you that I am awed at the experience to be here. I am completely humbled by the opportunity to be the Wyoming Teacher of the Year, and am thankful that I get to teach in this great state. As a debate coach, I train my students to participate in an event called Student Congress, where they research and write legislation. They go to competitions and they debate the issues, and they love it. And I think that is such a great activity for them to get a little tiny experience of what you do each and every day. In fact, they love it so much they wanted to skip school to come with me today. But I said no. They had a competition planned today in Buffalo, Wyoming. I want to leave you with another sincere thank you for everything you do for our students and educators. and for your service for this great state. It's because of what you do each and every day, I get to do what I love to do, and that's teach students. And one of them is right there, Laura. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and we can tell you do a good job because this student is working very good for us. House Bill 213, second reading of the House Bill.
Rangeland Monitoring.
House Bill 213, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 271, second reading of the House Bill.
Medicaid Speech and Audiology Service.
House Bill 271, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 283, second reading of the House Bill.
Taxation and Revenue Digital Products.
House Bill 283, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 286, second reading of the House Bill.
Federal Natural Resources Policy Account.
House Bill 286, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 295, second reading of the House Bill.
Western States Energy and Environment Symposium.
House Bill 295, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Bill 301, second reading of the House Bill.
Wyoming Industry Partnership Act 2.
House Bill 301, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. House Joint Resolution 7, second reading of the bill.
U.S. Constitutional Convention repeal.
House Joint Resolution number 7, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. House Bill 114, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 114, sponsored by the Education Committee, Community Colleges Amendments, an act relating to community colleges, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 114, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Platern? President Hines?
No.
Closing. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
House Bill 114, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 114 have passed the Senate. House Bill 125, third reading of the House bill.
House Bill number 125, sponsored by Representative Davidson, Establishment of Highways, an act relating to establishment of highways, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Nicholas.
President, I guess before we vote on this, I still am concerned about the unintended consequences of the statutory change and whether and the impact it's going to have on folks. While it may help one or two people, it's likely to have consequences that people don't appreciate. And I give you an example up in the forested areas around like Rob Roy, for example, there are mining claims up there that are turned into to lots. And what happens is that landowner one builds a road to his house. And then there's a segregated lot, say 200 feet from there, and the guy says, well, you know, I'd kind of like to use your road. And I don't have the ability to, I don't have access because I'm surrounded by federal land, so I'm going to condemn a private road through to your lot because I don't have access. Well, under present law, you can't do that because the present cases that sort of generated this issue say that you cannot condemn a private road to somebody's if you don't have the balance of the access. If there was a public road, you could condemn through somebody's land to get to that access. But otherwise, you have to go to the federal government, and you under the Alaska National Wilderness Act, you get an access, say, through federal property over here. Your road's a little bit longer. You got to build a new road. You got to pay for a road. But under this case, if there had been a two-track that somebody had utilized, you simply go and declare it a public road, and now then you can condemn from right through the other guy's cabin site. Had exactly those facts, and under this law, these homeowners would have had their neighbors condemning right in front of their cabins. And when we start going out and declaring what becomes a public road, you get consequences that you just haven't you may not be prepared to accept. And it's complicated, but I think that while there may be one or two instances where this may be an appropriate solution, there are many others where you're not going to like the outcome.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, well, I have a question when the proponents rise. It seems to me that this act is restricted strictly to federal private lands, and the scenario we were just given can't occur unless your cabin is such that you're right on the border of the federal land and the existing road that's there.
Senator Cooper.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the good tall senator from Natrona County is absolutely correct. Fellow senators, this bill and this amendment is very, very narrowly construed, and it only for roads located on federal public lands prior to October 1976 would provide access to a private residence or agriculture operation. First of all, if you have a mining claim, those mining claims are totally and completely controlled by the U.S. Forest Service. They are not in ownership by any private person. They're just simply a part-time lease of that ground to use for that mining claim, and they can revert back to the Forest Service at any time. So anyway, there are certain rules as a guide that guide this private road or this road issue into these homes, and I don't understand or even know how that scenario could develop that was laid out to us here a few minutes ago for this particular bill, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr.
President. Senator Massey.
Mr. President, thank you. What concerns me and goes back to my colleague from Laramie and the point that he raises is the reference to October 1976. Now, that makes it pretty specific. I mean, if that date were out of it, then maybe it would be narrowly defined. Federal public lands prior to October 1976, that's when FLTMA was implemented, the Federal Land Policy Management Act, which guides many of the management practices of the Bureau of Land Management. And it gives them the authority under from 1976 forward to close roads. The fact that we are now making an exception to that indicates that everything that was established and in place and considered a road before FLTMA now can be, based upon a county decision, opened back up again. Many organizations, and I'm not saying this is the motivation for this, but this could be the practical effect if we were to pass it. Some organizations throughout the West have used provisions like this in order to go in and undermine land designations that they don't necessarily agree with, whether it's for a wildlife refuge, a national monument, a wilderness area, or even any other kind of special land designation. They find a two-track that has been abandoned many years ago, and they convince the county commissioners to say, just condemn it as a county road, and you could essentially undermine the decision that was made post-1976 as to a land management use. That's my concern about this provision and specifically exempting everything that has occurred before October 1976. We are giving county commissioners a very powerful tool to undermine decisions that have been made with regard to how federal lands are administered.
Senator Bevatt.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was having some concerns about this bill, but now that I hear what my tall friend from Laramie, Albany County, saying, I think I really like this bill. Because if what you're saying is that where we've had some of these roads that we've used forever to get to areas where we've been hunting forever, that were taking away from us that I thought was wrong in the first place, and now this might help us be able to utilize those roads, even though that's an unintended consequence, maybe this is one of those times where it's a good unintended consequence. And just a point of information on a mining claim, I think what my other colleague from Albany County was talking about, when a mining claim goes to patent, then when it's a patented claim, then it becomes fee land, and then the federal government is not involved in the process at all.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and I urge the Senate to approach this cautiously, this bill covers more than just going to a private residence. If you're running an ag operation, and there are all sorts of ag operations, it means that you can have a road declared on the property. And that opens it up to virtually anything. I mean, that throws it wide open. And if you need to buy a cow so you can qualify for the ag, I'll sell you one. But that's it. This is wide open. So be careful. I urge you to, we're going to get things happen that, well, it'll be entertaining to see what happens, but it is wide open. An ag operation to qualify, $500 in income in a year, you're an ag operation.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Folks, actual case. This is what happens. What you got here, the orange represents privately held property. The white is your federal land. This could be your private ranch. This could be your private ranch. It could be your patented mining claim. This is patented mining claim one, patented mining claim two. This guy is surrounded by federal land, BLM, whatever it is. And 100 years ago or 10 years ago, there used to be a two-track going through here, fee land A, over to this private land. They stopped using the road years ago, and this guy built a beautiful cabin, a house right there. And so now this person that's surrounded by federal land says, you know, under the Alaskan Act, I can compel the federal government to give me a road along here on the white BLM because I'm surrounded by public land. He cannot use the private road access to condemn a road through the orange property, his neighbor, because under present law, since this is public and this is public, you cannot consider those as access to a private road. Now, on here, this is the RUS road maintained by the Forest Service or whatever. This guy wants to get over there. He doesn't want to build a new road, which he can do. Now what you said is that this road is now a public road on the federal land. Since it's a public road on the federal land, you can now use the private road agreement to condemn a road right through this guy's house. Now, under existing law, we prevented this guy from having a road right in front of a neighbor. And this was going to get developed and subdivided, by the way. So he was going to have 50 drivers going right through the front of his house for about $10 of compensation. Fortunately, we didn't have this law, and they were required to go up to the government. The government gave them an easement over here, and they had to build a road. That was the fair road. That was the fair solution. And what you're going to say now is, no, you got a public road here and here, condemned through your neighbor. That's not a fair result. This bill, believe me, has huge consequences for some people. And it might help one guy out there, but there are other people that are going to be injured.
Senator Cooper, second time.
President, fellow senators, I'm not a lawyer, and you know that. And we could probably come up here with dozens of scenarios and arguments on, you know, what you might be able to do in law with this, might be able to do. Who knows unless it was tested in court. But I can tell you one thing, fellow senators, that the county commissioners cannot and are unable to create and provide for any kind of road to a residence if someone has an issue like I had earlier talked about with the beginning of this bill. They can't do it. They have no authority, no power, no way of doing it. So what do you do then? You hire a lawyer, you go to court, and the judge, who is also a lawyer, says, okay, you know, you can't do this because you don't have a state law that says you can do it. All we're asking here is to create a state law so that if they do go to court or whatever takes place, they can have a road possibly to get to their house. I mean, we could come up with, Lord only knows how many scenarios here, fellow senators. And that still doesn't get to the root of the problem. That just lists scenario after scenario after scenario. And it still doesn't get to the root of the problem that we've had for years here. And it was created by the legislature to begin with. Now we need to fix it. And that's all we're trying to do is fix it. We're not trying to create huge highways across people's front yards or any other possibility of things like that. We're just saying if there's a road out there and it's going to somebody's house and it goes across to some federal public land, we're trying to give the opportunity to the commissioners to make a public road out of it. If the public is using it and the BLM is even using it, it needs to be maintained and taken care of and made into that public road. That's all we're asking for with this bill. I ask you to vote favorably for the bill.
Question.
Question been called for. House Bill 125 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend? Basie?
No.
Bonflaturn?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 14 ayes, 16 noes.
House Bill 125 having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 125 have failed to pass the Senate. Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I hope you would help me welcome this group of young, lovely ladies up here, which represent the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women. Help me welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome to the Senate, ladies. Senator Bivot? No. House Bill 262, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 262, sponsored by Representative Semlich, Very Rare and Uncommon Areas, an act relating to the Environmental Quality Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in amendment number one?
House Bill number 262, third reading amendment number one to engross copy, page one, line seven.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 262. And I will try to explain the amendment. Mr. Chairman, in the amendment that we've done previously, we moved, as you all recall, we moved it from being a function of the Minerals Committee and the legislature for approval up to the State Loan and Investment Board. In doing that, however, we eliminated some of the requirements that these very, very rare and uncommon areas be filed in the counties in which they're created. And what this amendment does, as you can see, it doesn't affect those that have already been done. But what this effect does is no designation which says, or I mean it does affect, no designation made prior to July 1st, 2009 shall require the approval of the State Loan Investment Board. That means those that are created are okay, but the designation in the office of the county clerk. One of the problems that we've had with those is they're not filed. Nobody can go to a county and look it up and see where is this. And so this puts that requirement back in that they have to be filed with the county as to where they are. The second part of the amendment, which goes down line 25, page 4, line 22, goes down, as we were researching this, we discovered that in 3511-1001, the judicial review part, which in fact, if one are established and it has to go to court and there becomes a takings issue, that the compensation or temporary relief or whatever is involved was there, but the wording was not very, very rare or uncommon, but had the wording in of a unique and irreplaceable. And so all the second part of this amendment does is strike unique and irreplaceable and insert the language that was proposed in this bill of very rare or uncommon and have these other characteristics. So I look at that as updating our other statute so that if there does become a takings issue in establishing any of these, that they will meet the very rare and uncommon and deletes the old language, which would then be some kind of a court argument over whether the two are saying the same. So all this is a conforming amendment in the back part. The top part reinserts the portion that they must be filed so somebody can know what and where they are if and after they're approved by the SLIB board. So I would urge your approval. Stand for any questions.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, question for the proponents to think about. The second, I don't have any problem with the first part of the amendment. Second part of the amendment, are you really sure you want to do this? Because now the way it's written, very rare or uncommon and. Notice the emphasis on the and. To qualify under this section, you have to be designated very rare and uncommon, and you have to have these other things. I have some reservations about this part, that there may be some unintended consequences. I don't know whether there are occasions where there is a prohibition for reasons other than being very rare or uncommon, but with this language, it has to be very rare and uncommon and these other things. So I ask you to look at that very, very carefully.
Senator Esquivel.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, my knowledge of this whole issue is pretty limited, probably non-existent, actually, but I guess I'm somewhat concerned over the tennis game that's been going on. The authority right now is with the Environmental Quality Council, and then, of course, we shifted it to the legislature, and the legislature didn't want it, so now it's with the five elected officials. And, you know, I guess that kind of concerns me. I hate to give some responsibility to a group of people that, I mean, I don't know what they think about it. I certainly haven't heard anything about what the five elected officials feel about assuming this responsibility. And I guess we can do it whether they like it or not. But, I just think it's kind of unusual that we've been going back and forth with this. So thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share the same concerns with respect to that the good senator from Natrona County articulated with regard to the judicial review language. But I want to go back up to the first paragraph, and that is that all of a sudden now these orders that are issued by the administrative agency get elevated to the point to where they can be recorded. And if I've got property that is out there and all of a sudden the state of Wyoming comes out and records an instrument that I didn't sign, that I'm not the grantor of, I'm going to be pretty upset. And I'm going to be very upset if I want to go build a house there and I find out that my lender won't lend me any money because there's some designation that I can't even explain. I just picked up and looked at the order from the Adobe Town the other day when we were talking this, and you read through that order and what that impact is, how it would impact your buildings, how it would impact your financing, your ability to sell the land, is very complicated. In many respects, the orders mean very little until it comes to the issuance of a mine. And now you've taken an order issued with respect to an agency designed for one purpose, and that is to affect how and when you can get a surface mining permit or you can drill on it or whatever. And you have this encumbrance on your property. And what does it mean with respect to everything else? And believe me, you go to sell your property and now you have a reservation, a restriction on your deed. And the buyer says, what does that mean? I said, well, it meant that I got this really cool place with a bunch of prairie dogs out there. And but I said, that's fine, but can I build a house there? Now, the UQC has no authority over whether you can build a house, whether you can build a road, whether you can do those things, whether you can put a septic system in. But your lender doesn't know that. The buyer doesn't know that. I really think that these things don't deserve to get to that. If you, who needs to know about these? People that mine. And if you want to go buy the mineral rights, what do? You do your due diligence. And part of your due diligence is you go down and you check online. You see, is it within these areas? People that mine or buying my mineral rights, they know this issue. But to put it on my surface rights and to affect that is really questionable to me.
Senator Vidal.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would disagree with my colleague from Laramie County on this totally. First of all, I think this recordation we're talking about speaks only to the fact that it's very rare and uncommon. And if I'm going to buy a piece of property, for whatever reason I'm going to buy that piece of property, and it has been designated very rare and uncommon, I think I, as a buyer, have the right to know. Now, if you listen to the argument that we just heard, it's better off not to know that, to go out there, because then you don't have to worry about what you don't know. Well, I would submit to you that I want to know if, in fact, that has been declared rare and uncommon. It has some unintended consequences relative to what I may or may not be able to do with my property. It doesn't affect my surface ownership. It talks about only what the law says and what the law means. I think we owe responsibility to those people that have that private property within a designated, very rare and uncommon area to know. You know, how about a wilderness area? If you had a piece of property that was set out there that you'd inherited or been around for a long time within your family, and they decided to put that into a wilderness area, would you want to know? Or would you just say, we don't care about that, we'll just wait till someone else buys it, then they'll know and that's the way it is? I think that's the wrong way to do it. The people that have private property have a right to know what's been done with their property. As to the takings legislation, I have trouble, you know, as far as what that language says or doesn't say. I thought that what we did when we did this amendment, we took it right out of the statutes, how they are prepared for the definition of very, very rare and uncommon. And I can understand what both of my colleagues are saying about there may be some language issues there, but I can also read it the other way that says very rare or uncommon, and then it goes and then later it says or. I'll leave that up to the body. But I think as far as the private property and the notification, I think that's very important.
Question. Senator Larson, for your second time.
For my second time, Mr. Chairman. Most of the discussion I've heard here has been about the bill. Whether you want to change the method of establishment of these rare and uncommon, very rare and uncommon areas, or whether you don't. And you'll have that opportunity to vote on it. That's what the discussion on the bill is and is going to be. The bill was to remove it to where it took another layer of jurisdiction, which, as the bill was written, was the Wyoming legislature and the minerals committees of those bodies, which I frankly felt, and we had that discussion yesterday, was inappropriate. Now, how you feel about that is really a separate issue. What this amendment tries to do is if you're going to establish one, you should record where it is so that people will even know if it's theirs, if they're on it. That's what it does. That's what it's supposed to do. That's what other legal people have said it is. The bottom part is strictly to make it in conformity with other statutes which get into the area of takings and put the language that is now used to establish that into the statutes instead of unique and irreplaceable. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't care about that, if you really want to know. I think that it is a conforming type of thing. And with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I would like to divide the amendment. Lines 1 through 24 is Division 1. And lines 25 through the rest of the amendment is Division 2. That's what Mr. Chairman, speaking on Division One, very clearly it came out of the bill. When we moved it from the Minerals Committee of the Legislature, being the approval body, and if you understand, that will be the decision on whether you like that or don't will be when the bill passes. But this amendment says it's going to be registered. It's going to be filed in the county where it's being created. That is Division One, and I'd ask you to vote on Division One.
Question and call for in Division One of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 262. We're voting on line 1 through 24. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment had passed. That division had passed. We're now on Division 2, which is page 1, line 25 through 44, and page 2, line 1 and 2. Senator Larson.
Mr. President, Division 2, as I indicated, was brought because it said if, in fact, there becomes a taking, the law should agree with the words that are now in there. Vote it up. Vote it down. That's what the amendment is supposed to do, and I would urge you to support it.
Question been called on Division 2. We're voting on third reading amendment number 1, House Bill 262, Division 2, which is line 25 through 44 on page 1 and line 1 and 2 on page 2. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Those in favor, please stand. Nineteen. Those opposed.
Ten.
The Division Two have passed. Senate file 262, having been read three separate times, the question is, excuse me, Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would like to speak on the bill before we vote on it, if that would be okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. President, I thought a lot about this bill and finally I decided, in honor of a brother-in-law who was 25 years older than me and who ranched on the Green River for 50 years and his father before that. I keep hearing the word takings. This is a taking away of a personal property right to make a decision about your own property. And I keep hearing the word takings. And I look at the men that he represented. They built their own electrical lines after World War II. They built their own telephone lines after World War II. They built their own homes. They asked nothing. And when I went and told him I was going to run for office, this is why I'm standing up. He said to me, stay out of my business. Now we are in their business, and we are putting government right in their faces. They have every right to make that personal determination. They have every ability. We entrust them to do contracts. We entrust them to do all kinds of things. But we don't entrust them to solve their own problems or their own feelings about this designation. We have records of people that didn't agree with it, and it wasn't declared. Mr. Chairman, this was a gentleman who, when we moved his cows as kids, and I mean we were kids, He did it with a broken leg, with a cast up to his hip, and he didn't ask for anything. He wanted, and many, many people that I see come before our committees, they want us out of their business. And now we've put in this bill, first we did legislative oversight and approval. Do we have that right to make that right? No. And now we've put another legislative oversight. We've thrown them into a middle of a political process. They shouldn't be subjected to this. They are very intelligent, the people that have come before us as second and third generation Wyoming ranchers, and even new ones that really care about what's happening in their lives and their land. And we've seen that in the Wildlife Trust. The people that are coming forward and working with the state to preserve some of what we have here. And so, Mr. Chairman, in honor of my brother-in-law, who represented what this state was supposed to stand for over 50 years, I ask you to stay out of his business. That's what he asked me to do. Stay out of my business. And so, Mr. President, thank you for the opportunity to say this, and I hope that we respect those landowners enough at this point in time to stay out of their business. Thank you.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let's reel ourselves back a little bit to reality. What we're doing here, folks, is we're taking what was being done by a group of unelected people. We're moving it over here, and we're putting it under the preview of the top five elected. We haven't changed anything other than a little bit of the final process. And we've also added a little bit better way to, if you don't agree with it, to go through the appeal process. What we've done is we've strengthened exactly what that brother-in-law wanted. We've given him better protection. We have people that are accountable now. If they make the wrong decisions, guess what happens next time around? You're not voted in. The ones that are there now, there's not all that accountability. At the very most, they get unappointed next time around, or they're asked to step down if somebody doesn't agree with them that appointed them. This gives those protections, exactly those protections that was asked for the brother-in-law. It establishes a better way to do it, and I'd hope we would support this and move on.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I must say I've gone back and forth on this bill. As it came to the Senate, I thought it was a terrible bill. The amendment secured that, and we had it on second reading. Well, okay, we've got it fixed. It'll be a bill that works. And that's for the bill. And then with the amendment that went on a few minutes ago, I'm wavering back the other way. I'm persuaded about the argument of unintended consequences of the recording, clouding surface titles. I think there's something there. I think we're doing something that we haven't thought out. And I am very concerned that the second half of the amendment has unintended consequences in it as well. So at this point, Mr. President, I think the better part of wisdom is to let this one sleep for a year.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me make a couple of things clear here. It's not my bill. I don't even know how I'm going to vote, if you really want to know. But when this bill came to us, I thought it was, as the good tall senator from rural Natrona County said, a bad bill. It isn't about staying out of people's business, because either way you're in people's business. Either way. Is this going to be established? It's about process. You're in their business any way you want to do it. But it's about process. If you think that the Environmental Quality Council should have the unchallenged authority to designate these very rare and uncommon areas, as they do now, with no one else to make a decision, then vote no on the bill and it will stay the way it is. If you think that there should be some control over the Environmental Quality Council establishing these areas and not having to file them or do anything else, then vote yes. What I think we have here, and my intent all the way through, is not to decide that for you. It's to make it to where the legislature isn't the one that's in the middle of it. I think it's appropriate that the state land and investment, the land board operating in a different capacity, be the ones to make the final rule. That's what the amendments have been about. If you don't think they should have been recorded, then maybe we should not have done that. We did. So the issue isn't whether we're staying out of their business. We're in their business either way. It's just the process of getting there. And I wanted to make sure the legislature was not mucking in the people's business, quite frankly. And that's what the amendments have been about. And so, as far as I'm concerned, vote it up, vote it down, but know what you're voting on. If the bill fails, the Environmental Quality Council shall have the unfettered ability to create these areas. If the bill passes, as it's now written, it shall be the Environmental Quality Council that establishes them, but the final decision will be with the five electeds. That's what the bill does. So you can make that decision. As far as I'm concerned, vote it up, vote it down. But make no mistake that if the bill goes down, it will stay the way it is, and the Environmental Quality Council can make that decision unfettered.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you. You know, I don't know much about this, but I try to think about it in terms of something I do know about, something like when the Public Service Commission makes rates. Now, at one time in history of this country, elected bodies made rates for electric services, for example. Municipalities used to do it, even for private entities. At one time, legislators set rates. It was a pretty crazy thing, and it happened and was thrown out because, you know, for the same reasons that we don't decide each and every school building anymore, because you need kind of a body of experts that aren't as politicized as we are in our deliberations. It's not saying we shouldn't set the policy, but we're not the ones that should implement the policy. And I'm not persuaded that the amendment that takes it from the legislature to the five elected officials in whatever board they stand as capacity depoliticizes it any. In fact, it may have made it more intense and more severe. I don't think that's really a good, you know, if we have trouble with the policy or how it's implemented, let's put frameworks on it. At the Public Service Commission, we say, well, you can't set rates below cost, and you have to hear all the arguments, and you have to have all this procedure for appeal. That's what we do, but we don't sit here and set electric rates. I don't think we're any better at designating rare and in common, and I don't think the five electeds are any better either. And we can put parameters on this and improve the process if you don't like it. That's what we need to do. And I am very concerned about the recording of these instruments and attaching it to the instruments that derive my surface rights. I mean, if you want to get in people's business, you record this, and then I go to the bank, and they turn me down when I want to build a house. Don't do that to me. You're taking something that was in another for another purpose and really sticking it to the landowner. And I do think it gets in their business. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Townsend.
Thank you, Mr. President. When we conceived this bill, we could see some inequities in the 1977 bill that created this statute. We didn't, and the more we looked at it, we said, well, we really don't, it's not our intent to deflate or weaken the wild and the wildness bill, I've said it so many times in the last 2 weeks, I can't really say it anymore. Anyway, we didn't necessarily want to weaken that. What we wanted to do was give an equal footing to the surface owners and the other owners of that property that is within that designation. So we really didn't limit what they could do about the very rare and uncommon. What we did was we adjusted the process so it was more fair to everybody concerned. Now, the recording, I want to address that. The recording of the designation to the land is very critical in almost all cases. Well, I would have to say all cases. You need to know, and that's what recording is for. You need to know what is encumbered on your land. You talk about takings. I want to address that. This is really a strengthen of the position of the landowners, because the taking comes with the rare and uncommon areas. That's where the taking is. It's when they take rights of your surface or minerals. That's where the taking is. This law strengthens your position in that case, because it, first of all, it notifies you, it puts it on record. It's just like a pipeline easement or whatever. I've been involved in some sales where we needed title opinions and things like that. Had we not known, hadn't I not be on recording or recorded, we wouldn't have known. And if you do know that what this designation is, sometimes, and they have the right to do this, they have the right to limit some of the uses that you can have on your surface. Now, that's where the taking comes in. But you need to know that. And they're not going to come by and say, oh, by the way, that housing development over there, you're not going to be able to do that because they got some little, actually the state butterfly over there. That's where it grows. So we can't build any houses there. And they said, well, why not? Well, because it's designated. Well, it doesn't say that in my deed. I've heard that before. I knew a landowner that I wanted to cross to drill a well. And he said, well, I know you've been going by there for years, but it's not in my deed. Not in my deed. So it's very important, I think, as far as the legal aspect. I think it's a Fairness Act condition in this, and I support the amendments that we have. I think they've strengthened the bill. They've brought it out of the darkness into the light, and I would ask you to support this bill.
Question been called for. House Bill 262 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson? Martin?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
Aye.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 13 noes.
House Bill 262, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 262 have passed the Senate. House Bill 279, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 279, sponsored by Representative Throne. Statements of consideration, review, and act relating to property, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
House Bill 279, having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe. Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Honeycutt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Basie.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Coe. Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 30 ayes.
House Bill 279, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 279 have passed the Senate. Senator Larson.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor, please?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I have over here some guests who are visiting and watching what we're going on. As many of you know, this was Governor's Prayer Breakfast Day, and I'm very honored to have with us. And let me first, so I don't make the mistake that our good majority floor leader and our president did when introducing people, I'd first like to once again introduce my wife, Marilyn, but we'll go. But we have some good friends from Jackson. We have Pastor Paul Hayden, who came down for the prayer breakfast, and he's been in Jackson for 13 years to start the Presbyterian Church up there. Done an excellent job. And you heard this morning that the theme of the prayer breakfast was about volunteerism. And these two people could be poster children for volunteerism. His wife, Terry, is in charge of the volunteers for our hospital, has been. They both volunteer for almost everything that transpires up there. And they're outstanding citizens of our community, and how they can take the time to sit and watch all that was going on over something, I don't know. But at any rate, please help me welcome two of our outstanding Jackson citizens to the Wyoming Senate.
And Senator Larson, if you keep reminding leadership what we forget, we may not give you the privilege of the floor anymore. Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Considerations of bills in general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are that order of business. Considerations of bills in general file.
I move that the Senate resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion passed. Senator Burns.
Did you want your water?
Nope, that's yours.
This is mine.
Thank you.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill to come before.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Larson.
I'd like to
interrupt.
I'd like to have the privilege of the floor one more time.
Of course.
For all you Casper people, I just wanted you to know that they have several kids, but their one son is a starting guard on the Casper Thunderbird junior college basketball team. So for all you from Casper, boy.
Any other privileges of the floor before we start? This is the last day of Committee of the Whole, so we'd like to move things along. First bill for our consideration is House Bill 69. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill number 69, sponsored by Representative Berger, Drivers Education Program Funding, and Act Relating to School Finance. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Coe, DeCarrier, Jennings, and Massey. No, Senator Von Fleitren. Senator Coe, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Townsend. No, Senator Peterson, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the House bill. What's your pleasure? Senator Coe.
Move the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so to do pass recommendation on House Bill 69. There is a Standing Committee Amendment. Number 1, please read that in at this time.
Reading clerk will read the Standing Committee Amendment.
House Bill number 69, Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 10.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move the Standing Committee Amendment and explain that after the sponsor has explained the bill. I would defer to Senator Schiffer.
The senior senator from Johnson County.
Mr. Chairman, this is a bill. What it does, in essence, it provides funding for so that school districts can provide driver's education to the young people in our schools. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask the senators to I passed out a handout, and I'd like to walk through it because it gives you the background for where we're going with this bill. It's the one with the line going down on the front. And what that is, records for you the youth teen traffic crashes from the year 2002, which Mr. Chairman will recall. That's when we put in the graduated driver's license. That's when we started the effort to see if we could make our highways just a little bit safer and help our young people learn the skills of driving. On the next page, the same figures are broken down by the age, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 years old. And then, because I'm so good at this stuff, I did a bar graph for you with fancy colors. But what I'd really like to point out is we've gone from 3,528 crashes down to 2,862. We're making progress. That graph is going the right direction. What this bill does is says we're going to help pay for teaching the skill of driving to our young people in high school. It is a skill that you learn. It's a skill. It's both classroom knowledge and actual driving practice. That's what's involved. It's a skill that can save lives. It's also a skill that teaches people how to be responsible, how to be safe, those types of things. In terms of what students get back, they do get that skill. They get the responsibility. Depending on what your insurance company is, your insurance rates can go down. And remember, folks, if you're eligible for a graduated driver's license, if you do driver's ed, you can get your regular license 6 months early. So there's a real benefit to our students who enroll in this. They're good courses. Are they offered now? Yes, they are. It varies. We have a total of 41 school districts that offer driver's ed at some level or another. 6 of those are outside of school, and 35 are in the school. What in fact happens, as I understand it, in school, they'll do the desk work, the simulators, those types of things. Then often, either after school or in the summer, they pick up the actual driving curriculum when they get out on the highway. So it's 41 out of the 48 school districts recognize the value of this and are putting resources in it already. It does vary from district to district, both in terms of availability and the hours that you can get it. Mr. Chairman, I'll walk through the bill very quickly. I've pretty well covered what it says. It's going to be implemented this coming year. What we're doing is paying $150 towards the each of these students that takes the course, the math. We had a total of 2,755.7 students take this course this last year. That's how we got the numbers. We're hopeful, actually, that number goes up, but we really don't know that because we're just getting started. But that's 2,755.7 students that are safer drivers because they've taken this course. Mr. Chairman, that's the bill in a nutshell, and I'll sure try and answer any questions that anybody might have, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Any questions on the bill? There is a standing committee amendment. Senator Coe.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I've moved that amendment already. The standing committee amendment goes into page 2, line 10, through the balance of through line 14, and takes out the participation of just free and reduced price lunch programs. And then we go down and we have a conforming amendment down on page 21. Then we go into the bill and take the word eligible out. We had a discussion about limiting it to free and reduced lunch, and I didn't feel that was appropriate, and that's what the amendment does, and ask for your support of the amendment.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and against the amendment, I felt better when it was helping out somebody that may have some financial issues. If schools do get a large block of money and they determine how they're going to use it, our school district charges a fee. This bill, or this amendment, I should speak to the amendment, also may get rid of that fee. So there's no buy-in. If they have a financial issue, then I certainly see that we could probably help them out and leave that part of it in there where it says that they have to qualify under the free and reduced price lunch program. But you just open it up, take out any buy-in by the student or their parent, and just make it open to everybody. With that size of block grant, they should be able to allocate their funds. So I stand against the amendment, and the bill, I'm sort of lukewarm.
Senator Schiffer.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we'll see if we can get our colleagues' blood boiling with enthusiasm, or just like a radiator on a race car. First of all, this is not covered by the block grant. It's not one of the skills that we say are in that basket of goods that comes with the block grant. So there's actually no money in a block grant to provide driver's ed. The second thing, and I'll submit to you, they use the reduced lunch criteria to say we're going to target these skills only for those that are economically challenged. I would suggest to you that those are not necessarily the young students, the young people. All young people should have the very best training when they get behind the wheel that we can possibly afford them. It is a skill. It is important to have. It doesn't matter whether you're in the school lunch program or whether you bring your own lunch or what your economic level is. Being a good driver saves lives, and it saves lives for some of our most cherished citizens. I just don't think the two correlate. All this amendment does says we're going to make it open. If a child's willing to put the time in and understand they're committing to either after school or during the summer to take part of this course, part of it's during regular hours. Part of it, they're giving up their daylight, their time, to say, I want to be a good driver. So there is buy-in. If they want to do it, they got to step up to the plate. And, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, spending time with your buddies is very important. Spending time going to a class, you got to really want to do it. And there's 2,700 plus this past year that said, you bet, I want to learn it. These kids will take advantage of this.
Senator Ron Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good senator from Johnson County, and I believe not only the senior, but maybe the only senator from Johnson County, speaks nothing but the truth about needing these kids to learn how to drive and be good at it, because, you know, alongside their driving skills, they'll have to get that cell phone figured out too. So we want to make sure that they've got those driving skills. But I will tell you that it's not in the block grant, but there's money in there for, like, vocational education or career technical education. There's special teachers in there, tutor money, all that they have given this chunk of money, and they're told how to allocate it locally, local control. So that's in there. The buy-in by the students. Most people think this is an entitlement to have a license. I don't. I think that you should buy into it. If you have to work a part-time job to make up that $100 that we charge for your summer program, so be it. If all schools charge some fee, then they should be able to afford the program or charge accordingly so they can, and let the ones that are challenged financially, the whole family is challenged and qualifies under that program, let them qualify for this money. That's the way I look at it. I don't think it needs to be open to everybody. I think it needs to be open to those that can't afford it.
We're on the amendment. Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against both the amendment and the bill. I was the only no vote on appropriations, and I'm just not convinced that this is a lot of money, that this is going to improve the program. I have a problem with handing out money to school districts who have elected not to provide this curriculum in their, or this program in their curriculum. There's a reason why it's not there, and the local districts have decided why. And just the graphs that were presented, I'm sure that the driver's ed has helped a little bit, but more importantly, I think what's contributed to this downturn is smaller school population of students, less teenagers in Wyoming. We know that for a fact. So, again, that's the reason why I voted no on our committee and still am.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Some additional information about why this amendment is good and that we need to support it is that unlike a lot of career and technical education programs, there's a great deal of cost that goes into a driver's ed program beyond just simply the salary of a teacher. There's the car, the maintenance, the insurance, the gas, and some other materials that go into it. About half of the driver's ed class is spent in the car, but the other half is spent in front of simulators, in front of computers, and other expensive equipment that needs to be purchased. And it just often is not a nominal fee that some of the smaller school districts need to charge students who want to take this class. It could be a fairly hefty fee as well. The statistics are irrefutable. Driver's education makes a difference. Insurance companies recognize that, and it should be available for all kids who are willing to sacrifice and make the time to take it in our schools.
Any other comments on the standing committee amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt the standing committee amendment to standing committee amendment number 1 to House Bill 69, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Standing committee amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Any other comments on the bill? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, just to answer some of the questions that were raised, again, understand that driver's ed is not covered by the block grant. It's not part of that basket of services. A school district draws no money to provide driver's ed, neither in the classroom nor the outside curriculum. It's just not part of it. That's why schools backed away from it. I think that when I tell you that schools are excited about this, when virtually all of your school districts are trying to encourage young people to pick up, to learn this skill, and like I say, they do it on their own time, it tells you how important it's become. This is the way that we can move forward and say, yeah, we recognize that need, and we'll help you do it. I ask for a favorable vote on the bill.
Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation for House Bill 69, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Should be nine. House Bill 69 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the Committee of the Whole may be revised.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate be at recess until 2 p.m.
Any announcements, Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, Committee Number 3, Revenue, will meet when we over on the, in the House Revenue Committee to talk about interim after we get a snack and make our way over to the House side on 30 today.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will be meeting with the House Judiciary at this noon recess over in HA to discuss interim topics.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee 9, Minerals, will meet in H18 over in the House side here in just a few minutes to discuss interim topics with the...
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recessed until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Senate is recessed.